So seeing that data come in and then seeing the other reconnaissance data, the satellite data coming in, Michael was continuing to strengthen. You know, the only thing that was going to stop it was coming towards the shore. The parameters, the conditions around the storm, you know, this was going to probably be a worst case scenario coming towards us. And so my goal was that morning to make sure our radio station had all the tools necessarily to make sure that we have a direct connection from where we were located at across the street. We have a generator and make sure that it stays on, because we're about to go through probably one of the strongest events. And as you know, now it's post-storm. It's one of the strongest ever to hit Northwest Florida. And focusing and making sure that, and we were a very small team at the time. This is, I don't think people realize that there was just three of us in the very beginning. And so there are, engineering staff had rode out the storm, you know, back at his home, So I wasn't really an engineer, for electrical side. I knew how to get basic stuff running, but making sure the equipment was up and running and making sure we started getting the information out to the folks that were going to need it. And unfortunately, we had a little hiccup right after landfall, and we hunkered down in the EOC. I remember the college president, and we were all sitting there. We would sneak out the side of the building, and we're just watching the amount of energy that was, you know, we're 8 miles, 10 miles from the coast, but watching the amount of winds and knowing that to the south of us and east of us, there was a lot more, you know, force being exerted on these individuals who just chose to ride out the storm. And so I know I kept going in and out, and then I remember that pretty well. I got video pictures, listening to the sound, watching trees snap, just like what, you know, a lot of our residents and community members were going through. And so after that cleared out, I remember the first Howie patrolman who left the EOC got down halfway down the road toward Howie 77 and said they were having trouble getting through the power lines and the trees. And then they finally made it to 77 and started headed down towards Southport, towards Atlanta Haven. But he was radioing back that he was confused. It didn't look right to him. He didn't know exactly where he was at, but there was just a lot of debris everywhere. And in the next 2 or 3 hours, you heard the same thing. People would leave and come back and say, "We've gotten this far, but we're lost. We're just confused. We don't know. This is supposed to be Lynn Haven, but it just looks different."
And we have another clip we're going to play shortly from Sheriff Tommy Ford.
Sheriff Tommy Ford, when he left the sheriff's office and came out there, said basically the same thing, that there was no real landmarks left. Everything had changed so much it was difficult to find it. Now, yeah. Brandon, you played another role. I know that you and a firefighter got our generator running. Oh. And what was his name?
Lieutenant Ben Collier with the Bay County Fire Rescue.
Yeah, he did a great job, and want a big thank you to him for helping us get the station back up, because we'd had some electrical problems and kind of confused our generator safety circuit a little bit. We've taken care of that, and we're going to talk next break. We're going to talk to James Spaxley, and we'll go through what we have done. We learned a lot.
Yeah.
We learned a whole lot on that. And but you also, you were up there for probably a couple of weeks total, and you also were critical in keeping us on the air during the night, because when we separated our computer system, when we lost contact with the campus, our scheduling software got, well, it was not very smart at that point. It had been lobotomized. And it was a lot of work to keep the station going. You really couldn't leave the station alone, even in the middle of the night, for more than an hour or two. It would begin to mess up. So I know that you helped me a lot over on the overnight shifts, keeping the station running. WK, although you're not really a WKGC employee, you are a member of our WKGC family, and we owe you a lot of thanks, because that was 2 or 3 weeks of really hard work on your part. None of us got much sleep, and it was a tough time, and I really did want to thank you. You want to
let's go ahead and roll the clip, and we'll take a quick break.
Okay, shortly after. After things, we got power back in Lynn Haven. I had the opportunity to ask Sheriff Ford to come into the studio, and we did a little video with him talking about what I remembered. This is a minute or so worth of his remembrance of walking outside.
It was probably about 60, 65 mile an hour winds when I decided it was safe enough for me to leave the sheriff's office. As I came out, I found that I couldn't leave our parking lot because towers, the big tower was down, blocking the roadways, trees, power lines, just like everywhere else. Several of us busted through a fence to the side, to the north side of the sheriff's office, and came out behind the Hardys there at Mosley and 77. And again, my goal was to get to the EOC just to see if there were any existing communication structure up there that would allow us to coordinate. I distinctly remember one of those moments that I had after the storm as I came to Hardy's and I saw the Neubauer Realty building that looked like a bomb went off, and then turning north on 77 and getting down to around the large church there just north of our office on 77 and seeing what happened there, and then looking in the distance on the horizon and just seeing the destruction. I mean, it looked like a nuclear winter, like you would see on television. Wind still blowing, bays of water in the road. And I just had to stop and take a minute and kind of compose myself for what we were going to face as a community and in the coming days.